True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thanks for being here this morning. We are going to pick up where we left off with the Nancy Guthrie case, specifically trying to dispel some of this ridiculous information that is out there being presented as facts when either it's complete supposition and it's not couched that way. Rather, it's couched as facts. And it's specifically, of course, information that is not only pointing the finger at, that's one thing, but this is literally indicting Tommaso Cioni and Annie Guthrie for murdering Nancy Guthrie. It's really unbelievable, but it's still out there and it still keeps going. And there's all sorts of other rumors. We had to do this in the Brian Koberger case. That was before I had a podcast or anything, but I literally would just each morning just get up and say, rumor, lie, untrue. This is why. These are the facts. So we're seeing a lot of that again, and definitely want to get that dispelled. But first of all, I want to, before we get into all of that, make a huge announcement. So for those of you who are Cordies, I think Julie always liked to say Cordies, coffee, and court was kind of her saying. I talked to her or communicated with her. We've been texting last night. And we're going to talk more in short plans this morning, but she is going to be joining me for 1 hour, and I don't know whether it's going to be the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to talk with her all about that, or maybe she'll want nine, but whatever she wants, we'll make it happen in the mornings, one morning a week. And we're going to call it Crime and Coffee with Julie and Jen. So I'm really excited about this. I think it'll be great. I actually had talked to her way before this turnover at Court TV came. Again, for those who don't know, Julie Grant, who hosted the morning show, who I think many just loved her spirit. She would get up and she'd say, you know, basically welcome in for, what did she say, coffee and court. She just, it was such a breath of fresh air. I think she just brought not only a vibrance and a beauty. Obviously, she's very intelligent. She's an attorney. And just her whole approach to the cases made it feel genuine and familiar is the best way. And we're going to keep that tradition. It's going to be familiar. We're probably not going to be all dressed up necessarily, but we're going to bring it to you and talk about the whole palette of cases that are kind of going on that week. For instance, I feel terrible that I have not, and let me see if I can get a picture up here. Let me just get a picture up here. It'll just take me a second. I have not talked about Lakin Snelling on the program because I've been so busy with other, with talking about the Nancy Guthrie case. But even as Nancy Guthrie has been the focus, I'm never going to let go with the follow-ups and the updates on all the cases that we've been following over the last couple of years. And one of those cases is Lakin Snelling. I have so many pictures of her. Let me just grab one here. Looking through my library and it's not coming up. Got all my others kind of downloaded and saved. She's a beautiful young lady. She was a cheerleader at Kentucky, a stunt person. Anyway, here we go. Let me just bring up this one. She was pregnant, gave birth to a child in her room, two roommates. I think she shared this home with two roommates, I believe. This was her boyfriend. You can tell there, and I have lots of pictures when she was stunting, when she had on, it was very obvious she was pregnant. This was not a girl that was chubby and, you know, or for some reason you couldn't tell. This was a girl that was in tremendous shape and had a basketball. That was unlike me. I looked like Jabba the Hutt. I gained 65 pounds. At some point, I'll put up one of those pictures. I was so big. It was just, I was just ginormous, but I don't mean to digress into me. I just am giving her an accolade, saying some people can have a child and be pregnant with such grace. That was not me. Nevertheless, Lakin gave birth to a live child, we found out. She was indicted now, not yesterday, the day before, the night that music that or that information came out. I posted about it early yesterday. And Lakin had taken the baby. There's a long criminal complaint that gives all the details that I went over, you know, at the time when all of this happened. And I might do just a complete show on it because I want to follow her because this is enraging. The baby, when it was born in a room, she talks about all sorts of things. She hears, I think the roommate hears a thud. I think she talks about maybe the baby falling, but it seems like maybe the baby was smothered. Apparently she rolled over on the baby. She was asleep for 30 minutes. She ends up putting the baby in a trash bag, putting the baby in a closet, and then going out to McDonald's to eat. And the roommate basically calls it in. And long story short, she's arrested, but is only on house arrest. She was immediately bonded out. She's staying at home now. And she was indicted finally by a grand jury. This has been going on a long time. It's kind of like the case of David, you know, and Celeste Rivas, where she was found dismembered in his front, the front front trunk of a Tesla. And still that's in the stage of indictment. I know people think you indict like a ham sandwich, but for somebody who has sat in those grand jury rooms day after day reporting on my cases, I mean, some cases take a year or more to get indicted because you have a lot of information for the grand jurors to consider. And the prosecutor does not want to present the case really for either a true bill or a no bill until they believe all the evidence is there so that, you know, justice can be served against them. Anyway, I have totally digressed on this other case, but I thought it was really important to talk about that particular case. All right. Let's get back into it. I think I was only on day three. No, I actually made it, it looks like, to day four. And this was what we're talking about, of course. Nancy Guthrie was abducted on the 1st of February. I believe we are on, oh my gosh, are we on day 39? Anyway, it's terrible. She hasn't been found. And rumors are swirling. The FBI hasn't come out to talk about anything. And the sheriff has actually talked a lot. You kind of have to look for it because, you know, the other mainstream media channels, a lot of channels are not showing it. It's not being discussed a lot. But I tell you, when I see something, I bring it up and talk about it. And one of those things, and I reposted it again on Twitter, is regarding these photos. So before we get into our main focus here, this photo, right? Notice how dark it is. Notice no backpack. Notice no holster. Notice different shoes versus, I think I have one here. Yeah, versus porch guy the night of the abduction, or the early morning hours, I should say, of the abduction. So again, the source reporting on this is that these are two different days. I did want to bring up that when I looked at this particular video compared to some of the others, of course, this one's totally dark, but this one wasn't near as dark as some of the others we had seen. And I'm still concerned that this could be about lighting, but nevertheless, Sheriff Nanos specifically said, I think this is really important. He specifically said there's no time stamp. He said maybe there was one at one time, but there isn't one now. For those wondering, and again, I just posted it again this morning. Now, this is the problem. Chief Nanos has lost a lot of confidence, right? You know, when he says something, I don't think people are taking it They're taking it with a grain of salt, as the saying goes. And he's had so many statements that he's made that either he has floundered on, or he's circled back about, or that has just been left out there. Like when he said that officers first reported on Saturday night, you know, he's just made a lot of misstatements. And so I think people, you know, have lost confidence in what he has to say. This is what I have to say about that. No one else knows what is going on. Anyone who is saying that this is a different day are speculating. Yes, there's source reporting. We don't even know who the source is. We know that it went to ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN. And then we know, even though it wasn't mentioned, News Nation also reported it. You know, that these are two different days, and it could be. Look, I had Dale Lundgren on, who I just have so much respect for, because he was a homicide detective 10 years and a robbery slash kidnapping, because in Dallas, the robbery squad handled kidnappings and burglaries for 20 years. I mean, this guy has seen almost everything, although he said an 84-year-old being abducted was quite unusual for him. Thank you so much for becoming a member. It means the world. I'm actually going to announce at the end a very cool raffle we're going to do just amongst members. I've got all these great ideas for members, and now I have a bigger staff. We're getting more things off the ground, and that's all because of you. I think I was making a grand total, do not laugh at this, because my husband was, $16 an episode. He's like, oh my gosh, because I actually work and make pretty good money at what I actually do. And then, of course, as a contributor for News Nation. But this is just so important, I think, as far as advocacy and being able to hopefully bring the attention to these crimes and just the lens of a FBI agent, you know, how do we sort of see cases? So I love this, and I love the audience and everything. And in the past, really little while, in the past month, we've really grown. And that's because of you all. It's directly related to each of you who come on, who support the channel. And I really can't thank you enough. There are, of course, rumors, speculation derived from a source. And again, we have no idea who these sources are. And I hate to put down these sources, because it's not about the reporters. I believe the reporters get information. Actually, what I think this might have come from is there's been a guy that was a former, SWAT member of Pima County. Right now, remember, just think of how many SWAT call outs and how busy a Pima County SWAT team member may be. Maybe not that busy, but still trained and regarded highly to be able to be in a position like that. I think he's provided a lot of information that maybe, you know, he knows from somebody in the Pima County Sheriff's Office, and that's possibly what's getting sort of leaked secondhand in some of these instances. I don't know. But that's the one nexus that I can sort of see before my own eyes that could possibly be, you know, providing information. We don't know. But nevertheless, I think it makes some sense. These are different days based on the attire and the darkness. Also based on, I do think it's possible that it could be an accomplice. And I do think it possibly could be. I did think it could be bad guy, and then he gets kitted up afterwards. And in other words, he goes, he takes a look, and then he throws on his backpack and his holster. But I'm not as convinced of that now, because that shirt seems different to me, and so do the shoes. But nevertheless, my point is, you know who does know whether there's timestamps or not? You know who does know that is the sheriff. And he has unequivocally said, there are no timestamps. There might have been in the past, but there aren't any. In other words, when they did this retrieval, this wasn't normal. This was where they had to go back and sort of peel away the levels of like an onion of time and, you know, probably millions, I don't even know, of recordings that were recorded that Google and the Bureau working together were able to come up with. All these pictures that I show you are directly from what Kash Patel released. So my question is, are we trying to say that either there were images that came up, but Google, they chose the ones without the timestamp? Or are we trying to say that the FBI got rid of the timestamp? Because I can tell you that based on what was said, there was no time to go back to Quantico and to do all that. In other words, as I've said, I don't think we're seeing the images that law enforcement is working with. I think the images they're working with are much clearer and well-defined. As I said, I've had cases where I've sent in a license plate and it was darkly lit and I can't see it. I can't make anything out. And they come back and work their magic. And now I can read a license tag. So that's the magic. I mean, are they 100% magic? No, but they really are at the, you know, precipice, the best of the best when it comes to in, you know, making video and still photography come to light. So I believe they're working with different images than we see here. And when you talk about that, that begs the question, was the time step on or off? And I'm only going with the strong statement that the sheriff made combined with the images that Kash Patel put out that did not have these timestamps, combined with the fact that these weren't retrieved in a normal sense. These weren't retrieved from the cloud or from some recording that was kept on a SIM card. No, it was extracted in a much more complicated way. And it makes me wonder and it makes me believe that perhaps there are no timestamps. So something for you all to consider. So if it's true that there are no timestamps, and I do believe the Bureau and officers have so much more information than we know, it really is a guess based on source information that may or may not be, and it may be accurate, but it's a guess, whereas I believe, at least I know where it's coming from when the sheriff opens his mouth. I know it's coming from him, and I know he's in the know. So take that for what you will. I want to get back to the main crux, and that is there's this particular creator. I didn't look today, but yesterday I looked. It was over 700,000 views, and his entire show is all about how Tommaso, with his drummer, who I'm not even going to say his name and get it out there any longer. I did a whole piece on him. The New York Times did a piece on him, the drummer meaning. And yes, he has a criminal history when he was drunk and he stole a watch got pulled over for a DUI. I think he got a year, I think, for, you know, the theft and the burglary / robbery situation that happened 15 to 20 years ago. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, let's understand it. It's not like he went into a house, you know, broke open the doors, went in and did some violent crime. He did a property crime. And the other thing is this drummer has never been arrested. It was adjudicated, I should say. He was arrested. It was adjudicated. And guess what? He would have had his cheek swabbed for those incidents, for both of them. And it would have been in CODIS. So that glove, at least that was found on the side of the road, which again, we really don't know whether that glove is connected or not. It's always been a wing and a prayer, something that they needed to call in. They've got 16 gloves. There's one, though, that they say meets the general view and standards of the glove that was used by the perpetrator. I'll put that glove picture up there. So they're looking at that. It's out for genetic genealogy. I know there was a report back that there was a glove that was found to be a restaurant worker's. Again, there's 16 of them out there. I think we're going to see all sorts of different workers that were out there. But I do not believe it's that glove that was found a mile and a half away. And I say that because, again, Sheriff Nanos says that. He kind of dials down in on that. So I think this glove may still be out for genetic genealogy. That's my understanding is. Let's see. I want to take this question from Don. Thank you so much. Nancy Grace had a guest about tracking her hearing aids for this. Did you hear about her? Have you heard about that? Tracking hearing aids. What an interesting thought. Very interesting. You know what? Let me see if I can get a guest on about that. Let me see if I can get a guest on about that. And if not, at least from on behind the scenes, I can interview somebody about that and see. I've never heard of doing anything like that. And to be honest, I mean, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but I'm not sure they would have kept those hearing aids in or even cared about anything like that, you know, because hearing aids aren't necessarily permanent. Also, on the whole hearing aid, I wanted to see if anybody knows this because I honestly don't know. I have looked for exact from law enforcement somewhere that there were hearing aids. Believe me, I know it's all out there. I just can't find the source of it. And that was something I had been working on, but I always like to source it before I say it. So for me, I like to keep with it came from law enforcement or something we saw with our own eyes. For instance, there's a lot of information to be gleaned from the Today Show information. Megyn Kelly just posted, and then I put it on Twitter yesterday. We have pictures of her room, what we believe to be her room, which I think were very interesting because, you know, it just kind of gives some insight. And it was right by that sliding glass door. A lot of people have said, no, that's not her room, but I believe that to be her room. But I prepared for this show, so I'm not prepared for that, but I'm so glad you put that bug in my ear, so to speak. And I'm going to look into that and get that answered. Jen B, you are the kindest person. 5 Break the Case memberships. Thanks so much. And this is going to come at the perfect time because I have kind of a cool little raffle to do. So just for fun. And when I say raffle, you don't have to pay just by being a member at that level. I think it's $199, $299, $399. I think at the $399 level, we're going to do this raffle for you. Anyway, back to all the speculation, all the nonsense, all the baloney that is coming out on this case, specifically the indictment of Mr. Cioni and his wife, Annie, who is the daughter of Nancy. And I really hope that like what happened in the Idaho 4 case, I really hope that people that are in the crosshairs of these this irresponsible blaming that is going on right now, I really hope that they, especially when you're looking at something that, and it could be up to 1 million views for all I know now, you know, I don't know how much you make with 1 million views. I've never had anywhere near that. I can't imagine what that would mean, but I would guess it would mean hundreds of thousands of dollars, I guess. I don't know, but it's a lot. And I would love to see part of that money they made off of dragging their reputations through the mud. I would love to see that. I would love to see them come forward and sue and get some of their money back. Okay, we're going to get into it. So anyway, in this program, as to why they are trying to prove that that Sienna or Cioni, Tomaso Cioni, and Annie, why they committed this murder. They pour out all of these quote unquote facts that are not true. And those are what I've been going over. We were right in the middle of that. And then I had to go. So one of the things they said, which this part is true, is between 5'9" and 5'10" is the porch guy. And that, of course, we know there's a tattoo that you can sort of make out on his wrist. And essentially, they are trying to say in this video, they kind of flounder back and forth, but they're trying to say that Tommaso is that same size based on the video of when he went to lay flowers with Annie and Savannah. No, he's just not. He is a really big, burly built guy. Also, look, this guy's eyes are so thin, much thinner, meaning Tommaso's are thinner. He's got this big, bushy mustache. He's got these big, burly eyebrows. It's just not him. So then they switch and they, of course, they say, well, it must be the drummer that did it then. If it's not Tommaso, who they try to call the architect, well, it must be the drummer. And they base that on the fact that 15, 20 years ago, he had that, you know, he drunk in a bar, stole a watch, got a DUI, blah, 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 that somehow that equates to him being at the level of being able to go in and grab an 84-year-old woman that is one of your best friend's mothers. And for what end? For what purpose? You know, I've been saying all along, what did they really have to gain? And once we really digest that, there is nothing that, there's no motive. There's no motive here for Annie and Tommaso that we know about. In other words, there's no motive concerning money, because Annie Guthrie had a $1 million house. Once she sold it, it would have gone down to, you know, 250 for each kid maybe. And then you wouldn't have life insurance out at her age at 84, because your kids are well established. They don't need your money. When you have little kids, that's a big difference. But likely, we don't know 100% sure. So I preface when I say something I don't know 100% sure, I will just say I haven't seen a case or know a situation where you would normally have that. All right. Let's see. We've talked a little bit about the fact that the glove that was tested that was found 1.5 miles away, and I'm going to put a picture of this glove up because I think I can get it pretty easy. This glove was found 1.5 miles away. It was found well after the area had previously been searched, and they were researching after the Bureau got pulled in. And the New York Post actually found law enforcement when they found this glove. So this is a true picture of the glove at the time it was found. And you can kind of see where law enforcement is coming from with these characteristics. Sorry. Let me get me off the screen with my bad hair day going on. Got it all tucked back in a ponytail. This glove is what's being tested. They tested it through CODIS. I want to bring up the fact that this is very important, that we not believe that this glove is necessarily the glove that would have been involved. It's possible, and I think we're all watching with kind of cautious optimism, I call it. It's when I hope a lead comes through, but I don't have any hope in it. And that's this. And recall that there was information regarding the restaurant worker. But remember, there's 16 gloves they're looking through and testing. So I do not believe it was this glove. And I base that on something Chief Nano said, which was basically, it's not even this glove that everybody's all up in arms about. So again, my go-tos have always been law enforcement, because they know. Yes, is it true that Chief Nanos has lost some credibility? Yes, but he's the best we got. It's better than sources we don't know. It's way better than that, because it's not that you can't believe the reporter. I believe the reporters. It's just that I can't believe the second or third hand information coming to the reporters. So I always want to preface that. All right. Let's see. So basically, what this account is saying on the show as to why Tommaso, one of the reasons Tommaso's guilty is because his DNA wouldn't be in CODIS, and the DNA from this glove wasn't in CODIS. Do you see how ridiculous that assertion is? That's why I'm saying when you look at logic and you make a statement like that, it's so silly to say because somebody is not in CODIS, that means they committed a crime. It's so ridiculous. And the number of people in CODIS, by the way, it's probably, this person says 19 million. I think it's closer to 26 million. There are hundreds of millions of people in this country and so that are not in CODIS. So when you look at it from that standpoint, CODIS is actually very, very small. And we in law enforcement understand that. What's big is 23andMe and Ancestry.com and all these databases that have all these millions and millions of people that go there and they want to know whether they're a Viking or whether they're an Irishman or, you know, whether they, you know, lived in a teepee, their ancestors. Anyway, there's so much I could say about that, but I don't want to burst anybody's bubble about how all that works. But nevertheless, they give up their DNA. And that is how so many of these cases are solved and everything, as you well know. I want to address BB's question. I think it's possible Porch Guy has a problem with his hand and that fact could possibly help locate him. You know, BB, there's so many unique things about Porch Guy. Let's put him back up. So many things. His eye, to me, is one of the biggest things. Let me see if I can get him up here with his eye. Where are you? Porch Guy in your eye. He has this eye. You see how it tails in toward the inside of his nose? And I actually have that same problem, too. One of my eyes tails in. If you know me long enough and have talked to me long enough in person, you'll see it kind of. And that was one of the first things I noticed with him is he has an eye that tails in. Tommaso doesn't have an eye that tails in at all. His eye is so squarely. He's got whites on both sides. The one eye kind of has the heavier eyelid that's going on. It's just not him. But I agree that to me, that little tattoo and the pinky ring and the way he dresses, because as I said, they have habits and they have ways they're comfortable and ways they dress. And that is what they stay true to. And committing crimes and doing things doesn't change all of that. So I think, you know, this backpack, how he dressed, his shoe wear, I don't think that was special for this occasion. I think that's him. And of course, the eyebrows and all these other things. I mean, I agree, BB, that many of the things are going to point out. I just don't, with the hands, I can't tell if possibly isn't double gloved or possibly he, you know, didn't just grab the wrong size glove and his hands are smaller and that glove is overwhelming the hand. Don Sullivan, I don't feel like those are his real eyes. Is it possible he could have put something in front of them? You know, that was an interesting question somebody else had asked, and I have another picture. This picture is pretty darn clear from the video. I think those are his real eyes. I don't think he has anything in front of them. I think what you're seeing and why I would see why you would think that is that glare that's coming off the Nest camera, that light that illuminates. And then when you combine that with the fact he gets a flashlight in there. And so now you have this huge glare in some other pictures. I think it's distorting how we're seeing those eyes. Thank you so much, Legendary. That is so kind of you and generous. I appreciate it. I want to talk to you guys about another project I have going on, but I don't want to spoil it. It's a huge project. And it's a project that's all about trying to solve this case and kind of putting my money is where my mouth is, if you will, on one of the things I think could really, really solve this case. Oops, let me put this up on the stage. Okay, back to the miscues that this person is alleging. And believe me, and the reason I didn't just point him up, it's there are so many things that he is saying in this video. And then I see TikTokers and I see other creators and I see people on social media just running with it. And I could tell it comes straight from this. You know how? Because when you see a lie, a mistruth, a distortion repeated, and you know it's not a fact, you know it came from that, right? So it just keeps regurgitating, but you can tell typically the genesis. And I really believe this one video is the genesis. So, but I'm knocking out hopefully some of the other stuff you all have seen out there. At the end, I want to take on at least three questions, or if you want to bring them up here, I just want to, if you have questions specifically about things you've heard, because that's what we're kind of talking about, is kind of dispelling the crazy rumors. And you know what tomorrow we're going to do? Look at this, I'm completely digressing again. But tomorrow we're going to talk about, the Daily Mail was kind enough to call me up. And the last time I talked to this reporter was actually during the Idaho 4. And the Idaho 4 case, he did several articles that I think were really good. And in this article, and I haven't even read it yet, although he sent it to me, I think it's posted. I go through and talk about the six possible, theories that are out there about what happened. And he interviewed me probably at least a week ago, maybe over a week ago. But I don't think there's any new information that would change, you know, my thoughts on it. And I haven't read the article, but if y'all want to take a look, that's, I think we're going to discuss the six theories that are out there. And because I'd love to get your takes, and I want to hear what you all have to say and what you think. All right. So he says, he goes on to say, and I'm going to try to stay more on track because I'm digressing too much. He goes on to say in this video that the reason that, and he fluctuates, that the drummer is more likely porch guy is because he says the family is cleared. But do you see how, to your question, case file fault 100. That's last I knew, but I think they've pared that way down. Last we knew 100, but back to what I was saying here is the family, he says, is cleared, including Tommaso. So because of that, porch guy is most likely the drummer. Do you see how he makes no sense? So he says Tommaso's cleared, but in the same sentence, he says he's the architect. In other words, the one that put this whole crime together, the murder, not for money, because it's, he says it's not a kidnapping, because it says it's a murder of Nancy Guthrie, that Tommaso is the architect, Annie knows about it and was involved, and the drummer is porch guy. That's what this premise is that we're working on dispelling here. But you see the logic again, bad logic that he's trying to use to make his points. Okay. He also tries to point out that the drummer is affiliated in some way to Rio Rico. Now, remember, Rio Rico was where the gentleman and his mom, they did a search warrant there. There's been two instances like that where law enforcement went out. But the first one was at Rio Rico. He ended up being a delivery guy. He's not sure whether he delivered there. And so I think, and the guy had some similar characteristics to porch guy in the facial area. I mean, I totally understood that probably because it was based on a tip, likely the FBI got a tip and somebody dimed this guy out, said, listen, he's a delivery guy. You know, he's sketchy. He just lost his house, which all of that was true. He just moved in with his mother. He looks just like him. Look at this picture. And so I think law enforcement followed the lead regarding that individual. And he had some other issues. But nevertheless, you see what this creator is doing? Just throwing out that the drummer has some relationship with Rio Rico. He's playing on the stupidity of the people following him, of the gullibleness, I should say, not the stupidity, but the gullible. Oh, I'll throw out Rio Rico because we know that was involved in the case. And there, that'll prove that the drummer, Tommaso's friend of 19 years, decided to go murder Nancy. And I say murder because in this deal, he's not really talking about a kidnapping or an abduction. And so I'm going with his premise just for the sake of this discussion. So anyway, throws that out of the blue. Then he says, you know, the 600,000, why did they pick, or sorry, the 6 million. So now this creator is not only drawing in, again, Rio Rico, he's drawn in the drummer now. He said that they're all involved because that glove that they found a mile and a half away wasn't in CODIS. I know, it's so illogical when you break it down. He does a nice job with pictures and with putting it all together in Dateline type fashion that has everybody confused. But when you break down the words and break down his messages, you see it completely falls apart. So he says, and listen, that's $6 million. So now he's trying to say that the notes are tied in. And I have to say, something about those notes bothers me. They do. It bothers me. You know, first of all, I think that those notes were created to absolutely torture Savannah and her family. I think that's the whole purpose. They never planned on getting any sort of the people who wrote those. They never planned on getting any money. I think it was likely written through an AI program. How do you write the best note? Because according to TMZ, you know, it was so well written, so highly educated. Well, that's because I believe they used AI to write it. And I think that they never wanted money. The people who wrote that note, they're just throwing that out there. Like all the cases that I've had, that agents have had, that we all discuss about people who do this. They've arrested one, remember? He wanted, I can't remember the dollar amount, it was huge, a Bitcoin from Annie and Tommaso, and he texted them. So he ran the same scam. He just wasn't smart enough to go through the media outlets. This was all about attention, the reason behind the notes, I believe, and to torture the family. But because this crime really ended up torturing the family, sometimes I just see, I don't know. The result links them, but I don't know that anything else does. But anyway, he's trying to link them. This account is saying $6 million. You know why they demanded $6 million? He's so dramatic in this part. He says they demanded $6 million because it was 20 years of buildup. Basically, that Tommaso married Annie 20 years ago, and it's based on sort of this 20 years of hatred. And, you know, I guess 3 million to Annie, 3 million to Tommaso, 3 million to the drummer. I mean, he just totally pulls this out of thin air and basically blames the buildup of retribution or hatred toward Nancy based on 20 years of essentially building up his hate for her that he would want her murdered. It's such a ridiculous leap, but that's the premise he's going with. All right. Again, he believes the ransom notes are real. So by his accounting, he not only believes that Tommaso is the architect behind all of this, he now believes it's a murder, but then he weaves in the notes that he believes are real. I know it's all over the place. When you watch it, it looks so smooth until you dissect it. Let's see. Oh, gosh, this was hard to listen to. So he says the reason that Tommaso, I guess, involved the drummer, he doesn't talk about 19 years of friendship and all this. Well, he mentions that. But this is why he says the drummer. He said, and this is so hokey, he says the drummer responds to shifts. He makes coordinated moves. He's synchronous in his actions, not just in drumming. It's so ridiculous. In other words, you know, that because he's a good drummer, he's going to be a good murderer. I can't imagine if there's any drummers in chat, what you must be thinking right now, or any musicians that hear this. But basically, that's what he's saying. Because the guy's a drummer, he's synchronous in his moves on the porch. And you know, anyway, it's just ridiculous. Let's see. he talks about the car that was seen about 2 miles away that is on the video that people aren't talking a lot about anymore. The sheriff was very confusing about that. I'm going to tell you the two general things, and I need to literally do a thing where I just show clips from the sheriff as it relates to these really key important points of the investigation. But in one clip, he basically kind of dispels that car. Like, yeah, we looked into it, and you know what? There's tens of thousands of cars out there, and it's just one of the many. In other words, it went by that road. And I kind of agree on that, only from the standpoint that they are going to be looking, not about that road area, but they're going to be looking at tens of thousands of cars that are on light cameras, traffic cams, ring cams, you know, nest cams, all the camera footage of different cars they have that were in and about at that time. Law enforcement might have a better timeline as to when this all began. We know 147, the nest camera was taken off. But what about prior to that? Were they seen? Was there a suspicious vehicle seen in Tommaso and Annie's neighborhood? By all the investigation they did there, you know, I just can't rule that out, that they weren't followed to Nancy's house rather than laying in wait, which also makes a lot of sense because you don't want to lay in wait necessarily at the house you're getting ready to abduct somebody in. It just calls more attention, I think, to that area. Better to be laying in wait at another place and then follow so you know for sure your victim is going to be there. So I'm very curious as to how that all worked, or if they didn't do that at all. Maybe they weren't at Annie and Tommaso's at all, and they weren't at Nancy's. Maybe they knew, though, at a particular time that she would be home. You know, who isn't home at 1:47 in the morning that's 84 years old? It would be quite typical for her to be there, especially if they had done any recent reconnaissance showing that she was there rather than in studio with Savannah or something of that nature. So anyway, they talk about the fact that this vehicle could have been going to Tommaso's house, could have been going to the drummer's house, or could have been going to Mexico. They don't really make a point about that. And quite frankly, we don't know if it's important or not, but I'll tell you the most recent statement made about that car by the sheriff. The most recent statement, he says, we haven't identified that car. That was really jaw-dropping to me. Because it seems pretty clear, a lot of online sleuths have, TMZ put up a recent picture that I need to put up that really, you know, they use their video folks and they've got that drawn down pretty tight. Again, if it's not from law enforcement, I'm always, you know, qualify everything. But I just would think they have identified that car, but the sheriff says no. That was in his latest. I think he said that on March 2nd. And that it's one of the many cars they're looking into. So I don't know if you remember this, but TMZ, about 5 or 6 hours after that video footage came out, TMZ said their source, because everybody's got a source, their source says, sorry, TMZ, I'm just saying, anyway. TMZ said their source said it wasn't involved, that that's what their FBI source told them. Well, then, you know, everybody started really doubting that. And then the sheriff came out, like I said, on the 2nd and said, we haven't identified the car. So if that's the case, I don't know how they could have ruled it out or ruled it in. But anyway, in this account, they basically try to throw out the, you know, some sort of bomb that this car could have been heading to the home of Tommaso or to the drummer. And I'm like, it could have been heading anywhere, you know, depending on how you want to figure out where that car would have turned somewhere way down the way. So anyway, again, it's kind of logically dissecting what he says and how he's trying to weave everything together to point the finger when it doesn't do any of that. Okay. Let's see here. Again, he talks about how this relationship, essentially, and this was the last point he makes, between Tommaso and the drummer is an architect with an operator. I think that's what his final conclusion is, that there's this architect, and that's Tommaso, and the operator, and they work together to kill. He talks not just about abducting, but killing Nancy, and then sent these letters. He tries to weave it all together. I'm just saying it's horrible to say that, especially, and I'm going to put this up here. Let me grab it really quick. Especially when they have been cleared according to a very strong statement, again, from the sheriff. And I know a lot of people don't want to give credence to what the sheriff says. They would rather give credence to what an unnamed, unknown, unfaced, unvetted source would say over what somebody who is at least in the know would say. Now, again, I get it. He hasn't been the best at, I want to put this one up too. This again is what he says about the doorbell image. And when I see something go in writing, as opposed to I hear him say something, I give it a lot more credence. And I give it a lot more credence because I believe that prior to him putting this in writing, he's going to run this by the FBI. And I say that because that's how it works from being behind the scenes for 28 years and working with locals, being on task forces. That's just how it works. And at this level, at a case at this that has this much looking at, I just don't think he's going to say this. And I've heard him verbally say it very recently again. And I posted it. There is no date or timestamp on the images. So my point is, how can a source know this? How can law enforcement know this? Now, they might have something else they're working with that is how they know that. So we can't rule that out. I'm just saying that I tend to believe that they were able to get the footage, but not the timestamps. And I know I've seen some experts go on and say, yeah, but you know, you would see the timestamps. And I just want to ask those experts, because this is what makes a person an expert on this. Have you ever had to get footage that was never saved on a cloud, that was never part of a subscription, that was never part of a SIM card? Have you ever worked with the FBI side by side to extract, and Google side by side to extract, that would have taken, I think it was 10 days to extract the information and come up with those images and with the video? And again, you know who put it out? Who put it out was the FBI. The FBI put these images out without the timestamp. So all of that is leading me to believe they don't have the timestamp. Could they develop it another way? It's possible. No, I am not saying they doctored the video. Exactly what I'm saying is they didn't doctor the video, and we just don't have the timestamp. Because when it was retrieved from the bowels of Google on a somehow, it's described as layers and layers and layers of probably millions of footage, because she didn't have a subscription, that they were able to retrieve these images from this particular camera at this particular, at her location. But Nano says there's no timestamp. The FBI released it without a timestamp, and they said they did it within hours of getting it because they wanted to get it directly to the public. Remember, and this is something I really want to strongly point out, that again, I'm surprised that we're caught in just crazy stories and, you know, things that aren't really, to me, that important when it comes to that case, this case. And that is this guy, a guy capable of abducting, terrorizing, and possibly murdering Nancy Guthrie is still out there. And I believe there's accomplices and they're still out there. This guy's capable of murder, in my opinion. I think the chances that Nancy are alive are very slim, but minimally, the chances that anybody would commit this crime and not realize the likelihood of the person who's 84 years old, who needs medication, who has a pacemaker, all of that, this guy is evil and he's dangerous. And law enforcement knows that. They know they need to get this guy off the streets. The number one goal, get Nancy. Save Nancy. The number two goal is save everybody else from this guy and any accomplices he may have. That's the goal. And how can that be done? The number one way that can be done is to keep this video out there and to keep those still images out there to make sure that not just us in the true crime community, but everybody in Tucson knows about this. You wouldn't believe, people just don't know. I guarantee if you all who are true crimers, go talk to the parents of your kids or to, if you play bridge or, you know, cards, talk to your card group, bridge group, or if you, you know, whatever you do, you golf, you garden, whatever it is you do, talk to, you know, your nursery people. Do you know how few people have even seen that any of this, even in that area? Do you guys remember when the pizza guy went to the front porch of Nancy's, called in, I guess JLR did this. JLR, you know what? JLR is boots on the ground, and I appreciate that he's there and doing his thing. Listen, he makes more money than I will ever, in a month probably, than I will ever dream of making in a year at live streaming and looking at javelinas eat flowers and, you know, video recording crazies and ordering pizza to a crime scene. You know, he's innovative. And, you know, just, I know he has a terrible criminal record. I know he's done a lot of time, but at least he owns that. And he says he's, you know, tried to turn another leaf. I think everybody, I always say everybody deserves a second chance, but I think you have to be, you know, you have to be careful because what he did were fraud violations, which means lying to people and misrepresenting for money. So, you know, you have to be careful, but I don't want to talk bad about JLR. Look, JLR does good work. He's out there. He's tireless. He's drinking his Red Bulls. But anyway, I digressed again. And I agree, four deuces. Everyone deserves a second chance. And he puts video footage and things to support the things he says. And, you know, so I think that's a great thing. But back to this, these guys are dangerous. They're out there. They need to be found. This is what I want. And maybe I'll call JLR. JLR, I want to see this at the beginning and the end of all your live streams, please. Because, you know, that's what needs to be out here. I want to add this to the stage again about the clearing and why I'm doing this video. And this hopefully will be the last video I do, but on this subject, which is just the nonsense against Tommaso and the lies that are being told, in my opinion. You can't have a video where you say, this is accurate, so it must be the drummer, and then end your video saying Tommaso's the architect of the murder of Nancy Guthrie. And again, I hope they're sued. I hope this account and the other accounts that continue to say this, I really do hope they're sued. But the family has been cleared. And unless this is... What's this? Sorry. I've got my glasses on so I can actually see. He didn't order any pizza to Nancy's house. Oh, I don't know. I believed he did. I think he even admitted to that, but he didn't mean it to go to the house. He meant it to go to him. My whole point about this, is that even the pizza guy who does deliveries, who probably knows that area better than anybody except law enforcement, and maybe even knows it better to law enforcement because all day long he delivers pizza in Pima County. He had no idea who Nancy Guthrie was. He had no idea what house he was going to. He had no idea about any of it. So my point is that people in that community need to know. We think everybody must know, but it's just not true. It's just not true. Okay, let me look at Tiger Shark Diver. Cool name. I believe it is one serial predator, 1.2 too much, 1.2 million too much. You know what? We don't know of any other serial cases like this. In other words, if you're saying that this is his first rodeo, in other words, that he's like a Brian Koberger and he goes and he murders four, meaning I think to murder only one. But then there, he does a hot mess. He does this great job of recon until the night of the thing. You know, all of us in the FBI, before we do the hit, we set up on it before the hit that day, not just, yeah, you do recon throughout several weeks to kind of see patterns and things, but then hours before you're going to do the hit, you better darn well have your recon, your surveillance units that are watching it for hours in advance because people leave. I was just thinking, there's so many cases I could talk about, but anyway, to stress the point of doing the recon first because of the crazy things that will happen on the day you intend to do a search warrant or an arrest warrant. And it only happens on that day. We always called it Murphy. Murphy gets involved. For those of you who know what I mean, it's Murphy's Law. And Murphy's Law is what can go wrong, will go wrong. And that's the world of law enforcement. And that's the world of this case. It was so dark, which I think was well planned in that way, when they decided to hit and strike, other than the fact they chose a day with a full moon. So that was really a mistake. This person is not somebody that studied when they decided to do this well enough to make sure that the lighting conditions weren't completely optimal. But nevertheless, they planned it well enough to be able to evade the FBI for 39 days. But to your point about this, I mean, we'll find out if that's the case, if this person isn't arrested and there's any other elderly people that are attacked. I just don't think this was an elderly based crime. In other words, I don't think this was a crime that was done based on the fact that she was just a elderly woman. And I just don't believe that. And I know some of my colleagues, they might believe that, and they're entitled to their own opinion. We'll find out. But the facts that we know don't tell me that. This tells me this was very specifically targeted at Nancy Guthrie. They knew her house. They knew her neighborhood. They knew she would be there. I think they knew that she had a very $40 million daughter. I think this was intended to be an abduction, intended to be for money, and it all went to heck. And they aborted the mission and got rid of Nancy. That's what Occam's Razor says. A little part of me is holding out to the fact that this could be something far more sinister in terms of actually targeting Savannah in a ruthless way by doing this to her mother, then further targeting her by putting in those notes, the ransom notes, and doing that for the purpose of just absolutely terrifying and harming Savannah Guthrie by somebody who is so angry. So Mac and I are on the same page. I'm about 20% on that one and 80% Occam's Razor. It's hard for me to erase that the simplest solution is usually the solution when 99% of the time, I would say I would say it 90%, because I've had a few outliers, that 90% of the time, the simplest solution is the solution. Could this be an outlier? That's why I say I'm I'm holding back 20% that this is just a sick, pathetic individual that went in there, took her, tortured her inside, took her, and then later was responsible for these sick ransom notes, emails, I should say, calculated solely for the purpose of torturing Savannah and or Annie and or Cameron. You know, nobody's really looked at who didn't like Annie, who didn't like Tommaso. Man, if you didn't like them, you've really set this up well, because you've taken away the woman that she lived near, that she had dinners with, that knew her the best, that was around her all the time, that they loved so dearly. You've now taken her, torturing them, and the shroud of suspicion. Did they set that up to point at them, to further torture them? Nobody's really talked about that. So anyway, I'm holding out 20% of some really demonic situation like that, but 80% Occam's razor. But again, tiger, shark, diver, you're not the only one that thinks, for sure, you're not the only one that thinks this could be somebody preying on older people, and that this is a targeted attack just against old people. If that's going to be the case, then we're going to see lots of old people being targeted, or other older people being targeted in the future. All right, $1.2 million. Keep this picture up and going, because that's going to solve the case. Somebody already knows who that is. They're just not turning him in. Betrayal to them isn't worth the money. And, you know, they likely really love this person. Maybe they're in denial. Maybe they even joke about it, saying, no, it's not you. That happened in Brian Koberger. You know, I think with the sister. Nah, it's not him. You know, kind of joking. Of course it's not me. You know, joking around. I want to remind everyone. Oh, I wanted to talk about Joe Magliolo, the assistant United States attorney, 40 years of federal prosecution. Because remember, right now we have the feds and their prosecutive team looking at this under the kidnapping statute sub B that says anytime somebody is missing for longer than 24 hours, it is considered that they went across state lines. We saw them at the house, the prosecutors, the United States attorneys, that has been was disclosed. And so anyway, I want to have him on to talk about that and the other kidnapping cases he worked. He was a prosecutor in Houston for years, which is a huge city with so much crime. And then he was a federal prosecutor in Houston for decades. And then now he's in private practice. So, but Joe Mags, as I like to refer to him, you guys are going to love him. If you love Dale Lundgren and some of the other guests, I'm also going to get Eric Johnson, hopefully back on, hostage negotiator back on. I want him to talk about this case with us. It's just trying to clear schedules of people who are still working full time, basically. Eric Johnson is still a polygraph examiner. He does it contract for the government. And then he also does polygraph examinations for attorneys and things like that. He's the best of the best. It is actually somebody he works with that did the polygraph on television related to the Casey Anthony case. So I had him on to kind of talk about that. If you want to look back in any of my podcasts, it was really good. He talked about, of course, for those of you who are old enough to really care, Waco. He talked about Ruby Ridge, because we were both agents at that time in Houston, and his knowledge about those and what really happened. And he also talked about polygraphs in general. We cut that up a lot. And specifically the Casey Anthony polygraph of the father. So anyway, which he believes he totally passed 100%. And of course, all of us, I think we knew that that was just a ruse to point in his direction so that the real perpetrator, the mom, that Casey would not be in prison. And that's one of those cases, right? We got three of them that's happened, at least in my lifetime. Actually, four, another one that you guys probably don't even know about, but four cases were either because of jury nullification or because of just great lawyering. Guilty people are running around free. But you know what? You're only free as long as you're alive. I think everybody ultimately ends up paying when they do evil deeds. Again, I want to remind you guys, Julie and I are going to work it out, but we're going to figure out 1 hour on a particular morning. We're just going to pick a morning, pick a time frame, whether it's I propose 7 to 8 or 8 to 9. And we're just going to talk general true crime. Obviously, we'll probably always talk about Nancy at some part of that hour, but we're going to cut up all the different crimes because so much is still going on. I really want to talk and do a segment on the lieutenant colonel, the retired lieutenant colonel who's missing in New Mexico. That's really, really interesting, especially since he hasn't been found, no known mental issues. And then finally, I want to make sure there's no questions up here really quick before we go, and then I want to talk about the raffle. Thank you, Legendary. Thanks for being here. Jen Network says, hey, listen, you don't know how much that Nancy has in her bank account. Sure, that's true. I've never seen a bank statement. I don't know how much she has in her bank account. But I do know she was living on a limited means. And, it's not like she was driving around in a brand new Mercedes convertible, $150,000, $200,000 car. She had a very nice house, but they bought it when it wasn't worth very much. I looked back. I'll have to look at it. I don't want to guess. And it's just obviously through all these years has appreciated. I don't think that Tommaso's involved, and I don't think the drummer's involved. I feel really bad for that drummer. He's an educator, a teacher. He's got a child, two children, I think. Actually, couldn't even have the children at the house because of their harassment he was getting. I am so tired of people harassing, either online and, of course, way worse in person, having people have to act like this because they're afraid of being mobbed by crazy people who are going to accuse them of committing a crime they didn't commit. Anyway, Julie's going to be joining us. I'm so excited. We're going to call it Coffee and Crime with Julie and Jen, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's going to be casual, laid back, more like how a morning show would be, more like a Today show. Where we might even discuss other things. We'll keep it on crime for sure. But, I tangent sometimes, and I know with Julie, we're probably going to end up tangenting. For those of you who don't know, she's an attorney. She was a practicing attorney, so she's not just some pretty face on TV. She did the job. So that is in particular why I wanted to invite her to do this and am honored to have her on the show. All right, everyone, until next time. Oh, yeah, the raffle. So I want to raffle off where we just, at the end of the month, we take the members' names, and I'm going to put in just a little FBI package. We've also got pins coming out that say cussing and discussing true crime with Jen Coffendaffer, or I think it might say FBI Jen. Can't remember what they say. They're actually sitting up on my counter, but we're working through all of that. But this would be more of a little FBI package with some pens and patch and some different things. Probably I'm thinking from the different units I've been in. So I was a physical trainer. If you can believe it, the Bureau has patches for everything, right? So we have, if you were a part of the physical fitness training unit, which just meant once I went to school and learned all of that, and you learn all about health and nutrition and how to get in shape. And then what you do when you're out in the field is you test agents every year. There's a big test that you run them through to make sure they're in shape enough to do the job. And so that's what you do out in the field. And then obviously advise anybody who might just have questions that's an agent. You're just there to help them out. In other words, hey, how can I lose weight? Hey, how can I build up my biceps or this or that? And we just kind of advise like that as trainers. So I've got that cool, it's a really cool patch/pin. I think I have one of each. And then I was in the weapons of mass destruction when I was in headquarters as a supervisor in the nuclear counterproliferation arena. So what I did there was 17 different operations with, and this is what I'm telling you. Obviously, those missions are top secret, but what I'm saying right now is not classified. We work with FLAP and SEALs and other entities that those I can't name to essentially kind of take a look at individuals in our country. As you know, the Bureau is responsible for spying on spies within our borders. CIA is responsible for spy work outside of our borders. We're law enforcement. They are not. They don't have any law enforcement capabilities in our country. They don't carry guns. They don't arrest people. So anyway, I have my weapons of mass destruction. I think I have that pin. I was on the FBI director's personal protective detail, which I have to say that is really was probably the highlight of my career because I was the first woman to ever be attached to that detail. And it was really an honor to work with the guys on that detail. Just amazing people. I learned so much about protection and it was just an honor. So I think I have a detail pin. I can't remember. In other words, I would buy like three or four. I need to look at those pins and then to see if I even have enough. I know I have two for sure, but those are the detail pins. Obviously different task force pins and just anyway. I'm going to put a little pin package together. And so anyway, we'll raffle that off from members that are at that $399 level. You won't have to put any money in. Just being a member gets you in the raffle. So I want to thank everybody. I'm really looking forward to doing that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on our show. Again, we're not going to have Joe Magliolo. He's sick. He's got the flu. So I'm still trying to line up that particular show. I'm also putting together a panel with some different faces, and I'm hoping we get Dale back for this, and then some other faces that are law enforcement, and then I want to have Drunk Turkey. I really like him. He's funny. I want to have him moderate it and actually put out the questions because he's so good, and he's logical. I really like him. Putting out some of the questions to a panel of probably four really seasoned law enforcement people about this case, because not all of us, so definitely want Mac on there. I'm going to have a guy named Tom Smith on there, who I really like. Hopefully Dale comes back. And then I have one other that I haven't asked yet, so I don't want to throw his name out there because a lot of you know that before I get him on. And I thought that that would be really fun to do. So look for that to be coming up too. And let me know if you ever have any ideas on shows or guests that you want to see. And we'll do the best to get them. Again, working on Team Tim Tebow. So Amanda Knox, that's another. Communicated with her. She wants to do it. So we're working on that. There's one other. Anyway, working on some really high profile interviews to bring to y'all too. But until next time, don't listen to rumors. That's perfect. I love that. Kathy Alexander says, don't. That's the theme. And you know what? I'm going to change the name of the thumbnail. If she is on here right now, let's change that. If not, I'll text her. But I want to get the thumbnails changed for this show and the other show. Don't listen to rumors. So anyway, everyone, till next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.